Thousands of people were released from prison over the past 2 years to ride out the pandemic at home. Many were able to have family and loved ones nearby, but their situation can be precarious. NPR Justice correspondent Carrie Johnson has the story.
Eric Alvarez remembers what it felt like to hear his fiance was coming home from prison.
It was a really big relief. I've been really sick with some, devastating diseases.
Alvarez has heart trouble, and he's struggled to take care of his 4 kids and his fiance's daughter. He says Eva Cardoza's return from prison in Danbury, Connecticut, made a big difference to the family.
She was doing everything at home. She was cooking, cleaning, taking care of the kids, helping them with homework.
In June 2021, Alvarez and Cardoza took a 90-minute cab ride into the Bronx so she could meet with her supervisor. Cardoza, who had tested positive for marijuana, never came out of the building. Alvarez waited for hours.
I had to fork out $433 because the meter was running while I was waiting.
Cardoza's return to prison turned the family upside down. She's now been back at Danbury for 14 months. Alvarez says she never got the chance to explain herself or to challenge that drug test.
That's just mind-boggling to me. Where's the judicial system? Where is the fairness? Where is the 50-50? I don't see it.
This week, the Bureau of Prisons told NPR that 442 people who were released during the pandemic have now returned to prison. Only 17 people out of more than 11,000 committed new crimes while they were out. More than half, like Eva Cardoza, got sent back for alleged alcohol or drug use. Other cases involved technical violations. Sakira Cook of the racial justice group Color of Change explains.
It can be as simple as failing to answer the phone when your probation officer calls you. It could be as simple as the ankle monitor giving off an incorrect signal about your location.
Cook has personal experience with that problem. Her relative recently left federal prison on home confinement, only to get an ankle monitor that didn't work. Fortunately, she says the probation officer understood the situation.
In a normal circumstance, somebody who violates the terms of their home confinement, is sent back to the halfway house or to prison. But the stakes are much lower. They're only going back for a month or two.
That's Kevin Ring, the president of FAM, which advocates for people in prison and their families.
Here, some people have years left on their sentence. And so if you're going to say that they need to go back, you really need to do a cost-benefit of that. Is it really worth sending somebody back for years because they missed a phone call or they had alcohol in their urine?
Sarah Russell is a law professor at Quinnipiac University. She says in her experience, most of the monitoring of people on home confinement is being done by private contractors.
There can be a lot of room for miscommunications and misunderstandings.
Russell says that's all the more reason to ensure due process rights for people at risk of being sent back, the opportunity to see the evidence against them, and to have a hearing. Last week, one of Russell's clients won in court. The decision by Judge Omar Williams is the first in the nation to hold that the current process for returning people to federal prison after home confinement is unconstitutional. Russell says her other clients, moms with young children, are still nervous about having to leave their lives behind unexpectedly.
My real hope is that this gets addressed at the national level through the Bureau of Prisons and through the Department of Justice. They have a real opportunity to set clear procedures and criteria.
More lawsuits from people returned to prison are underway. The Bureau of Prisons says it can't talk about that pending litigation, but it is considering a new federal rule to make the process more clear. For Eric Alvarez, that can't come too soon. He's been diagnosed with colon cancer, the same disease that took his uncle years ago.
My heart is not up to par to take this kind of abuse, and now I'm going through it alone. It's just, I'm afraid that I'm going to die alone.
Alvarez talks to his fiance in prison on the phone or with video calls, but he says it's not the same as having her home. Carrie Johnson, NPR News, Washington.